Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One,
Spotify,
and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
He's covered the big events and talked to the biggest names in sports for more than three decades.
Freeze, end zone, he hit 500 career touchdown passes.
From Super Bowls to the World Series, he's been there, he'll be there, and he's here now for CMI, the Chris Myers Interview.
It's great to have Ross Tucker on a CMI, and thank you for tuning in, everybody. Ross, of course, played in the NFL for 7 years. Great stops, places like Washington, Dallas, Buffalo, the Patriots, the Browns. He's a broadcaster now, and he'll be on the sidelines doing the radio broadcast for the AFC Championship game. He also has the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, and I've been on his podcast before. He's just a guy. We worked together, actually, got to call a game, but I just love talking football with him. He's not afraid to call it like he sees it, outspoken on a number of issues, which we'll get to. And Ross, first of all, it's good to talk to you. It's a great time of year. We've seen some great games. I'm looking forward to the championship games.
Well, so first of all, Chris, always good to talk with you, man. And I'll never forget when we did that NFL game together. I think that was, in fact, my first time. I only ever called three NFL games on television for Fox. Uh-huh. First one was you. Second was Matt Viscursion. And third was the next year, I believe, with Chris Rose. But you were awesome. It was awesome to work with you. I was certainly a little bit nervous, first time doing an NFL game, doing it with you. But it was great. Thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. And I think maybe it's Facebook or my Twitter, one of them, at Ross Tucker NFL. That's still like my bio picture. Oh, really? Is me, we're on the opening segment, opening camera, and me like, looking at you as you're teeing me up on something. So that was awesome. You were great to work with. And not to date you, of course, Chris, but I remember, watching you on Up Close and watching you interview people on ESPN back in the day. So it's kind of funny and cool to be on your podcast and have you interview me now.
Oh, it's great. Back then we were doing Up Close in the 90s, right? Roy Firestone created it. And then I took it over for ESPN and that kind of half hour of free flowing conversation. Athletes didn't have Twitter, social media, their own websites, right? We didn't have the kinds of things you have now with Instagram. And so it was really the place that they could go to express their voice, and a special show that obviously players at that time, and built up a lot of great relationships with people through the years on that show. But nice of you to say it. I remember that game. It was a game in Seattle, of all games to get to do, right, with the great atmosphere, something that was missing this year in the playoffs when Seattle played and the Rams upset them. But let's, dive. There's a couple of different things I want to dive. The first hot topic, and I don't think that he's really going anywhere, but the Deshaun Watson story, before we get into games here, right? And they have to decide on a head coach, and I want to get your thoughts on some of the hires. But if you were Houston right now, and again, we don't know everything with ownership and what's coming out. Deshaun Watson, to our knowledge, hasn't requested a trade. I think we're all guilty of kind of running with this because he's such a great quarterback. What would you do? How would you handle this? And then if you did have to trade him, where's a good place for him at a fit where you're getting what you need if you're the Texans?
All good questions. It's interesting because there's a lot of NFL teams that are out of it now, right? So, there's only four teams left. So there's 28 teams that are done. And I I'm sure you do as well, Chris. I do, at least 5 to 10 radio hits a week. Everyone I go on, right? Like San Francisco or wherever you go, that's all they want to talk about. That's all they want to talk about. Right. Deshaun Watson. Like a couple weeks ago, last week, I was on in San Francisco, and they said, is there anybody that would be untouchable for a Deshaun Watson trade? And I thought, well, I don't think I would do it with Bosa, but if it came down to it, I would. Like, if it was Bosa for Deshaun Watson straight up, I'm doing it. So then, no, there isn't anybody that's untouchable. You would not believe, Chris, people on Instagram, Niners fans calling me a clown, like, you can't have Bosa. Like, as if
deal.
Yeah, I'm living in Hershey, Pennsylvania right now in my detached garage. You think I have any power over it? I just think, look, if you could get Deshaun Watson for Nick Bosa, of course you're doing that.
Right.
So then he's not untouchable. Let's use a little bit of logic here. if the Houston Texans said, we'll give you Deshaun trade for Nick Bosa, Nick Bosa will be on the next flight. So let's not even talk about that. There are a lot of teams, though, that could use him. And it's funny because even as recent as 5 years ago, Chris, I would have said there's no chance he's going anywhere. None. Things have really changed, man. I mean, it wasn't like this. I played from 01 to 08. It wasn't like this at all. It has gotten to the point now, especially when it's face of the franchise types that are making that much money. I mean, we just kind of saw it with James Harden. I think players are realizing in every sport, if they're willing to speak out about their unhappiness, they really are able to force their way out. And I think it's possible it gets to that. I actually personally think they are going to hire a Deshaun Watson approved head coach. Because you think about it, it is so hard to get a top five, top 10 quarterback like that. So hard. You cannot trade that guy.
Right.
You know, every team would be, I mean, half the teams would be willing to trade for him. You can't do it. He should be your guy for the next 10 years at least. I think the Texans are going to have a meeting and ultimately say, I don't know who that guy is. Maybe it's Eric Bieniemy. Maybe it's Leslie Frazier. I don't know who their guy is. I personally believe they're going to now, Chris, hire a head coach that is Deshaun Watson approved, because that is the only thing at this point that could quell what's going on in his frustrations. And if it doesn't work out, you can fire the guy after 2 years, maybe even 1 year if he's that terrible, and get another guy, get the guy you want then in a year or two. But at least in the meantime, you've sort of appeased your franchise quarterback during this turbulent time.
But he signed the big contract. And I guess the bigger question, and I think that's going to happen. And look, we saw players not quite in the category of Watson, Ross. Jamal Adams, right, forced his way out. Just what you were saying, but forced his way out of the Jets. DeAndre Hopkins out of Houston, and they didn't get enough for him. And that was a contract thing. They invested their money in Watson, so they felt like they couldn't keep him. But it makes the point that you say, hey, if there's enough noise made and somebody's unhappy, but he signed the deal. Should a player? I mean, the Packers didn't check with Aaron Rodgers when they hired Matt LaFleur. People made a lot of noise about that, and look how well that's worked out. I mean, I think if you're a key player and you tell me you should have a voice, but I don't know if you should have a say necessarily, but maybe the things have changed. As you're saying, the ownership says we better keep Deshaun happy, so whoever we hire has to be a guy he wants. Maybe it's not all his choice, but we'll give him a major voice in this.
You know, it's a slippery slope, Chris, because if you give them a voice and then you don't go with their guy, is that worse than if you never gave him a voice in the first place? Right? Like if you give him a voice, then you got a problem if you don't listen to them. You know, which by the way is why, like, the Texans, you know, they were the only team that didn't request Eric Bieniemy during that first week, during the bye week.
Yeah.
You know that that's the guy Deshaun Watson wants, or it's been reported at least.
At least, yes.
How are you the only team that doesn't at least interview him? In that case, Chris, it's like they went and asked him. He said they wanted his input. He gives them their input, and then they're the only team that interview that guy.
Yeah,
it's almost like you're going out of your way to say, we don't care what you think. We're the ones running this place, not you. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and they hired a general manager in between. And, of course, Bieniemy is still with the Chiefs. And the rule about there's some limitations about how you can interview when your team is in the playoffs. But it creates an interesting situation. A thumbnail here. What do you think Urban Meyer in Jacksonville? How do you think that's going to work out?
Well, he is in just about as good of a situation as you can go to. You know, he's going to get one of the best quarterback prospects we've seen in years and have him on a rookie contract on the cheap for 5 years. The Jags have oodles of other draft choices. They have tons of cap space. They have a very patient owner, and it's a winnable division, right? Like, if you get to the AFC West, that's rough. With Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, and the Chiefs, that is rough. in the AFC South, that division is there to be had. You know, who knows what'll happen with the Colts quarterback situation. The Texans are a mess. The Titans just lost their offensive coordinator, Arthur Smith. The AFC South is very winnable. So I think he's got a great opportunity. And I think it's going to go well. It'll either go very well or very poorly. I don't think that there will be a middle road, but his track record, man, and I know it's college, but
right.
Bowling Green, Utah, Florida, Ohio State, people thought I was nuts. I tweeted last week at Ross Tucker NFL. I think that he will have a decent argument for being the best football coach ever if he wins a Super Bowl in Jacksonville. Now, listen, Chris, I'm not saying that he will be the best coach ever.
Right.
But to my knowledge, he'll be the first one to win it all at three different places, Florida, Ohio State, and with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He will have done it both college and the NFL. He will have proven he can do it multiple times at the same spot because he won two in Florida. I give him a lot of credit for the Bowling Green in Utah, turning both those around in 1 year. And most importantly, he will have won a Super Bowl with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
The Jacksonville, the 1-50. First of all, I don't think he's going to win the Super Bowl with Jacks. I don't think that's happening. But if it does, I actually think he's got a decent argument.
I know that's a good point. And if you know, Jimmy Johnson, I was trying to think of the last college coach directly from college, right, that had the success. I mean, there have been guys, you know, Nick Saban, had he stayed longer with the Dolphins, I think he would have had success, but he was more comfortable in the college game. But yeah, Jimmy Johnson, Pete Carroll, they won college football championships, but not in different places like you're talking about. And if he gets it, I think he'll be successful in the NFL because he stepped back, he observed, he waited, he wants to hire NFL people, and he's a good delegator of men, understands sizing of situations. So that'll be a fun thing to watch. It'll make Jacksonville, already the season ticket sales, I saw, you know, went sky high for Jacksonville, which is something you can't say. Now, a lot of that may have to do with who they drafted at quarterback. The game this week, both of the championship games, and they're both, at least oddsmakers see them as close games. So you're going to be working, and I call NFL games for Fox, have done sideline work in the playoffs and a number of Super Bowls, six or seven Super Bowls, including the last time when the Chiefs beat the 49ers here, and the last time Brady won, or at least was in a Super Bowl and rallied to beat Atlanta in that particular game, because they beat the Rams afterwards, which we did not have. So you've called games in the booth. I've heard you on Westwood One Radio, as well as we talked about TV. Sidelines, kind of fun, right? You should enjoy this atmosphere no matter how often you get on the air, because it really is a limited role, as you know, compared to the other roles.
Yeah, so a couple thoughts. One is, I was in the booth Saturday night for Bills Ravens. I got to tell you, Chris, I almost forgot from this season how awesome fans are and how much of a difference the energy is. You know, I did a bunch of games this year, college and NFL, where there wasn't a single soul in the stands. Not a single person in the stands. And Buffalo only had 6,700. I tweeted this. That was the loudest 6,700 people in the history of the world. I mean, I can't tell. I mean, the Ravens were getting false starts. It was, not one of them sat down the entire time. It was unbelievably impressive. So that was incredible. So now Sunday for the AFC Championship game, this will be the first time Westwood One this season is having a sideline reporter, sideline duty. But my understanding is, I think it's been this way with television all year, that we're not actually allowed on the sideline.
Right. You have to be in that mode area.
Have you done it all, Chris? You've been in the booth the whole time. Have you done sideline at all?
Yeah, not this year, but our reporters have had to be, they call it the moat area. You're kind of in the front row of the stands behind the team that you want to be. And the hard part is, if you only have one sideline reporter, they can't run around to the other side, which normally is what you would do. So you're not quite on the field, but you're close, as you've seen in the post-game interviews, how they do it. Now, I don't know how they're doing it for your radio situation. Maybe you can get a little bit closer. I'm not sure.
Well, so I'm the only one doing it, and you know, we don't have two.
Okay.
And I'm sure it's, you know, in large part for the post-game interview and stuff, and that's cool.
Right.
But you know, just like you, when you're on sideline, you usually follow the ball. I mean, you're usually down near where the ball is because you want to see what's going on and comment on what you're seeing and hearing. This will be my first experience, I guess, essentially sitting in the stands. And I'm not going to like walk up and down the moat. I mean, I'm just going to sit in like the second or third row and watch the game. I'm trying to figure out, Chris, whether I'll be able to order a beer and hot dog from where I'm sitting, because I'm not about to like stand up the whole time or walk around. Like, I think I'm just going to sit there in the third row and just offer my observations from row three.
Right. No, that's how you'll have to do it. And, but you're in a little bit of a different role because you, as a former player and an analyst, you can, and that's what they do a nice job with on Westwood One. You have input in the flow of the game with those that are in the booth. I believe Ian Eagle is going to be calling it upstairs. But yeah, you'll basically have a little table set up. And I'll tell you, having done that before, Ross, what you miss when you're limited like this, like the situation now, is even though you can't directly quote players, by moving back and forth and around the bench, and obviously we can get cameras to see, or you can describe for radio what guys are doing if they're frustrated, but you hear certain things that alert you to what's going on. All right, are guys having a disagreement about certain pass plays? You know, is the defensive, you know, the line coach upset with one guy on the end? And you can relay that information so you can enhance the broadcast. That's kind of a missing element, but in your case, you're kind of really a second analyst, right? They allow you that kind of freedom in the flow of the Westwood One broadcast.
It's really, really cool. Really cool. It's really just a second perspective, second set of eyes from a different vantage point. And I actually think it works out best. You know, Tony Boselli is going to be in the booth on Sunday, and Tony's great. But I think that there's a lot of value when – I've done a lot of games on sideline when it was either Boomer Esiason or Kurt Warner in the booth. And those guys really tend to focus on receivers, secondary, coverage. I think then you provide a lot of value when I'm looking at the O-line, D-line, because that's just not where quarterbacks' eyes naturally go. Mm-hmm. And I also think it's interesting. I'm a little surprised, and I'm not trying to get you out of a job, Chris, but I'm a little surprised that television networks don't hire more former players for sideline duty, because I feel like former players can handle the interview and can handle the injury stuff, observation stuff, but also, you know, provide some analysis, you know, where especially if the guy in the booth is a quarterback or whatever – provide a different perspective, but they just seemingly have never really wanted to go that route. Or maybe they just, now that I'm talking with you about it, I can think of a couple high profile examples, one in particular that didn't go very well. So maybe that's why they haven't done it.
Well, no, and I was going to step in on that. Yeah, right. And we don't have to name names on that, but some of the guys that are the big stars. I mean, you worked your way up, Ross, through, just like you did as a player, through the trenches. So, and I think to do that is, look, sideline reporting, as you know, especially on television where the limited time, you put in a lot of work and you get limited chances, and it's easier to foul it up than to get it right, you know, in terms of information. But I agree with you. If you find former players, and it is a good point, that put the time and the energy into to learn the broadcast technique of getting in 20 seconds and out and in between the snap of the ball, their knowledge, but they have to be broadcasters as well as former players, something that you've done and the good ones have done in the booth. But the sideline is a kind of a different area there. What do you see in this game at the time we're talking? And obviously the concussion protocol for Patrick Mahomes will determine whether he's going to go or not. But just in general, let's take the Buffalo Bills. I called a couple of their games this year, was really fascinated with them. And I've covered Josh Allen really since he's come into the league. I've done two or three of his games each year, and I see that he's gotten better. It changes everything in your mind if Mahomes is going, or how healthy he is. Is that your view going in?
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing I think is really interesting about it, I think I expect him to play. None of us really know, but I think he'll probably play. I haven't seen it yet, Chris, so maybe I'm mistaken, but I feel like there's some people out there that saw him woozy and saw him stumbling on his feet on Sunday that are going to have a problem with him playing a game a week later. And I'm not saying that they're football haters. I'm not going there, but I think that there are some people that don't believe a young man that was wobbly and knocked woozy should play a pro football game a week later. And I guess it's far be it for me to say that they're wrong. I mean, I can see why people would feel that way. I really can.
And not to interrupt you, but I heard people saying as much as they loved Alex Smith and his story, his comeback with Washington, they were watching him in the last few games, and they're like, oh, I cringe every time he went back to pass. He shouldn't be out there playing. But, yeah, then you hear him talk and his wife and his family, and that's something if medically he's cleared and wants to do it. But in this case, Ross, really, the NFL concussion protocol, and even Andy Reid said that, it's in their hands. The Chiefs may have a choice after he gets through all that if he's cleared. But they don't really have a choice in this, at least to start, and really neither does Mahomes, right, based on the medical.
No, it's a good point, because once it goes that – and that's the thing I feel good about now is once it's in the hands of an independent neurologist – then there's no bias, you know, I'm fine with it, whatever they decide then. It is funny, I'm from a really small hometown. It's Wyomissing, Pennsylvania. And
why you're missing is what it's, what does that mean? I know a little bit about Pennsylvania. Is that anywhere near what's about Penn State?
Yeah,
Philly?
It's an hour west of Philly.
Okay.
It's an hour west of Philly. It's the big city is Reading. It's a suburb of Reading. If you can have a suburb of Reading, it's a suburb of Reading. It's an hour west of Philly. And the funny thing is, I always joke, I was the most famous person from Wyomissing for like 6 years, and then this girl named Taylor Swift hit the music scene.
Oh, yeah,
and,
I've heard of her. Yeah,
I kind of got obliterated by her. But the reason why I bring it up is, you know, we graduated with 140 people. So to see on Sunday, now Chad Henne, in all fairness, went to the rival high school, which is a bigger school, but Chad Henne's from Wyomissing. And then in the night game, Alex Anzalone's from Wyomissing. So to sit there on Sunday, I was having a beer watching two guys that I've known. I mean, I've known Alex since he was like 5 and Chad since he was 15. Watching them out there, it was cool. And in particular, I was just thrilled for Chad to make the most of that opportunity. You know, he hasn't started in forever. You know, he had never played in a playoff game. You know, that now will be what people will remember about him for the rest of his life. You know, that he came in and got done, especially after he had that terrible interception.
Right.
I'm so glad that he was able to make those two plays through. I mean, literally, Chris, I used to work out with his dad. I mean, his dad's a big dude. His dad used to work out in the same place I did. And I used to work out with him. And when he was like in seventh or eighth grade, his dad would tell me, my son's pretty good. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure he's great. You know, everybody tells you how good their kid is. Well, turns out he wasn't full of crap. His kid's really good.
What do you see to the key? Let's just remove the quarterbacks for a moment. We know Buffalo has not run the ball with great success. The Chiefs did a nice job without Hilaire, the rookie in there. What do you see as the key in this game? How do you expect this game to go?
Yeah. The thing is the Bills, they only had 220 yards against the Ravens. Now they had that pick six, which was huge, but they didn't move it great. The week before, they couldn't stop the Colts. The Colts had their season high, 472 yards. So it's a little bit weird because I have an affinity for Buffalo. I played the most up there, longest stint of my career. But in a weird way, I don't feel like they're playing that great, but they're finding ways to win. I think pretty clearly if Mahomes doesn't play, I like the Bills.
Yep. Okay.
If he does play, I like the Chiefs in a close game. It's hard for me to find a scenario, though, that the Bills win the game other than Josh Allen being superhuman. His arms, his legs, he's going to have to be a superhuman because I don't think the Bills are going to be able to slow down the Chiefs that much if Mahomes plays.
So we'll watch for that on being – again, let's give the offensive line a little love on the side of the Packers because they did a great job against what was really the best defense, at least going in the NFL – the Rams, and they haven't had injuries on that line. So simplify for us, is it the scheme? Obviously, you have to have players, and we know about the great linemen that jump out at you, but boy, they just plugged in guys and did a good job. They didn't even have Jared Valdir, who they picked up and hoped to get into the game. What makes that Packer offensive line? And does it have a lot to do, too, with Rodgers and how he operates getting rid of the ball?
Well, he's done a much better job this year operating within the structure of the offense and getting rid of the ball. He had gotten this tendency the last couple years to try to extend plays and make the big highlight play. This year, he's much more, if you noticed, just throwing the ball from the pocket. It's not as much of the running around and whatever. It's in the structure of the offense. They have two studs that are still healthy. The center, Corey Linsley's very good. The left guard, Elgton Jenkins, is awesome. Like, he can play all five. He's very, very good. So when they have Bakhtiari, they've got three legitimate all-pro type of guys. But I'm so impressed. I mean, if you would have told me Billy Turner and Ricky Wagner would be the starting tackles for a Super Bowl team, which seems like it's very possibly the case. That's why this game against Tampa is so interesting, because here comes JPP and Shaq Barrett. We'll see if Wagner and Turner can hold up against those guys.
Yep, I think it'll be good. And on the other side, Elgton Jenkins did a really good job. How do you see this game going? People favor the Packers. They say the weather won't be an issue because Brady has been through this as a Patriot quarterback. But a lot of the Buck players, like, this is their first time in the playoffs since 2007, and just they're not used to, and they haven't had to play in a lot of cold weather. They had a trip to Washington, but it wasn't that bad. So how do you see the Bucks team? And what amazed me about their win against the Saints, their defense really won that game. I mean, Brady's Brady. He was smart. He didn't turn it over. But I think their defense, Russ, and you tell me, is coming together at the right time. And I don't know how they're doing it in the secondary, because I know Winfield's a fine young player and Davis could cover it. But even when they had injuries, somehow they held up. And I thought that was an area that you could attack and take advantage of.
Yeah, I mean, if Antoine Winfield Jr., who, and I play with his dad in Buffalo, always makes me feel old.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
If Antoine Winfield Jr. doesn't punch that ball out from Jared Cook, I think the Saints win the game. I mean, it was 20-13 New Orleans. They were in Bucs territory to go up by two scores. That was by far the play of the game in my mind. I like the way the Bucs are playing right now. Look, I just said this. I just recorded the Even Money podcast, which is my betting podcast. I like the Bucs getting the 3.5 points as it is as we talk right here, because – I do think they can win it. I do think it'll be a close game. So I like getting a little bit more than a field goal there. But you can't really predict turnovers like that.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, they won the turnover battle 4-0. If that happens again, Chris, I guarantee the Bucs win. But none of us know whether or not they're going to be able to win that turnover battle like that again. So I think I lean towards Green Bay winning a close one. Like I said, I like the Bucs if you can get 3.5 points. But if we're talking straight up, I think that the Packers win a close one. I really do believe both these games are going to be awesome. It's right now a total of 6 points on the spread in the two games combined, which is awesome. I mean, it looks like on paper, at least, we should get two awesome games.
Yeah, no, that's a really, really good point. Yeah, some two of the Buccaneers for years, and they haven't been in the playoffs, so it hasn't been on a big stage. But they had ever since Matt Bryant left, the field goal problems. They went through kickers, and they found somebody in Ryan Succop, the former chief, who's also, I think, with Tennessee. He's been really steady for them in the playoffs, and those field goals, they've been automatic. And, of course, Mason Crosby. So it looks like that kind of game. Crosby's been so steady for Green Bay. I do want to go back for a moment and ask about Jared Goff, and some things have come out afterwards. Just, okay, they may not be on the same page, which is odd, because him and McVay, even though he didn't draft him, those two have been together and went to a Super Bowl, have been to the playoffs 3 out of the 4 years. Where do you see him? Is he a good quarterback, not a great one? I mean, does he fall in that Matt Stafford, Matt Ryan category just earlier in his career? And is that a problem for the Rams going forward, who have a good defense, as you know, and are a team that we're used to seeing now around the postseason?
You know, it's perfect timing. And I'm going to lean on what he said, because I thought he described it perfectly. And that's Dan Orlovsky, the ESPN analyst, was on the Ross Tucker football podcast this morning.
And Orlovsky, by the way, a career back, but a terrific analyst. And there's a guy you talk about, could do a sideline and give you analysis.
Yeah.
He's terrific in the way he breaks things down and delivers it. It helps us all understand, those who haven't played the game, just as those who have. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're right. So he said it really well, I thought. Jared Goff doesn't give you any of the bonus plays, extra plays that Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson, that those guys do, right? Like, he's not going to give you anything above and beyond what the offense is granting you. So he doesn't get any extra credit, doesn't give you any bonus. And you can win that way, but you can't be giving the negative plays then too. And so he had stretches this year where he was turning the football over. So you think about, like, the best quarterbacks who I already named, they're giving you those bonus extra plays, the positive plays, but they're not giving you the negative plays, hardly any turnovers. Goff doesn't give you the positive, the extras, but he was giving you the negative. You can't have it. You can't have that. If you're not going to give the positive, you can't have the negative. And I think that's where the Rams kind of are with Jared Goff right now. Although, you know, I think his dead cap would be $34 million if they moved on from him. So I don't really foresee them doing that. I would imagine they try to see what they can do with him this upcoming year. And if it doesn't work after that, perhaps in 2022, they would move on from him. Maybe they give themselves a better alternative for 2021 in terms of a backup.
Yep. While we're a couple of things before we let you go, since you do college games as well and know the NFL, we figure you mentioned Urban Meyer and what they'll do with that first pick, right? You think they'll take the obvious choice there. Yeah, give me your top three. Justin Fields has declared. Zach Wilson from Brigham Young, we're getting a lot of it. How do you see the quarterback order fall? I know it's early in the draft, but looking at Jacksonville, the Jets, the Dolphins as the top three, and then you have the Falcons, and even the Lions are in there in the top 10. You've got Carolina, some teams that might want to draft a quarterback and then have guys like Matt Ryan and Matthew Stafford where they could still play and get it done, but if you're either reshaping or rebuilding, where do you go from here? So what are your thoughts on the maybe let's say the top three in the order they'd go in the college game with, you know, Lawrence, obviously, we're assuming number one.
Yeah, so Lawrence is one. I actually think I would go Zach Wilson too, and that's hard to say after the way Fields played so well in that Clemson game, which was absolutely ridiculous. But I had, you know, there were a number of times this year I felt like Justin Fields held on to the ball too long. You know, certainly the Indiana game, the Northwestern game, even against Alabama, there were times where I didn't think he had a great feel for when to get rid of the football. And Zach Wilson, I mean, you watch some of the throws that he makes. Zach Wilson actually reminds me of Aaron Rodgers. Like, the throws that he's capable of making, it's great. I mean, the ball explodes off his hand. I'm no quarterback guru, but I've seen the video of some of the throws he's made, and it's crazy. I mean, it's like bananas. And so for that reason, I really think I probably would go Wilson.
Okay, and then just the best hire of the head coaches that we know, Robert Saleh with the Jets, or the one that you like. It's funny, we can't grade them because these guys haven't been able to do anything yet. But just going in, other than Urban Meyer, which we talked about in Jacksonville, I thought you had an interesting point of view on that. Chargers with Brandon Staley, the Lions, Dan Campbell hasn't made that official yet. Philadelphia could be Josh McDaniels. We're waiting on Philly and Houston. But what you've seen other than Urban Meyer, which one do you like? You think they'll do a good job?
Yeah, I really do like a lot of the hires. I think Staley's a stud. But I'm going to go Arthur Smith in Atlanta.
Okay. Wow.
And I'll go Arthur Smith because my last year as a player, it was his first year as a coach. And we were together in Washington with Joe Gibbs. I was very impressed by him. He just has such a great way about him. Hmm. I've talked with him before a lot of Titans games over the years. He really grinded, man. For 10 years, he was like quality control. He was tight ends coach maybe at the end. You look at what he did with Derrick Henry the last 2 years. You look at what he did with Ryan Tannehill the last 2 years. I love his background as a walk-on offensive lineman at North Carolina. Arthur Smith, I'd be surprised if he doesn't do well in Atlanta.
That's a cool one. And Arthur Smith, and quietly, you always respect this, Ross, the son of Fred Smith, the founder of FedEx. So you think, you know, he'll deliver. I'm sure he will. Hey, you set me up on that one.
You know what, Chris? You would never know his family background talking to him.
Never. That's right.
I didn't know. Yep. It was months after I've been talking to him every day, you know, on scout team or whatever, when someone said, you know who that is? I'm like, no, it's Arthur. They're like, that's Fred Smith's son. I was like, wow. You would never know by talking to him.
That's what I've heard about him as a coach, and you couldn't tell. He worked his way up, and FedEx is a terrific and a well-run company. All right, well, I wish we had more time, but we'll do this again. So we got the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. We'll hear you on the game. You'll learn different things, like you were a Swifty, or at least you came from the same high school as you. And I give your Twitter handle, and if people also are interested in the betting, what's that? Give that again.
Social media is at Ross Tucker NFL. So Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, even youtube.com/RossTuckerNFL. And then the betting podcast is Even Money Podcast. I think this is the fourth out of 5 years where I finished the year in the money, in the black. So if you like to make the games a little more interesting, it definitely does that. So check out the Even Money Podcast for sure.
All right, we'll listen for that, and we'll listen for you, and we'll talk again soon. As always, Ross, you've come a long way. Proud you're doing just fine and enjoying it. Keep up the good work, and we'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much, Chris, for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right, Ross Tucker with us on CMI, the Chris Myers Interview on Podcast One.
Thanks for listening to CMI, the Chris Myers Interview. Make sure to subscribe, rate, review, and spread the word. Get new episodes every Wednesday on Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.